Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From Romans chapter 6, this morning, we have been buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I know that you've already put away your hymnals, but I'm going to ask you to take them out of the pew rack in front of you, and I would like you, please, with me, to turn to page 278 in your hymnal. 278. And you'll find that on page 278 begins the funeral service that we have in our Lutheran service book. I think a lot of times we're afraid of the word funeral. It sounds so down and sobering and sad, and so we make up all kinds of other things to go in place of an actual funeral. But today I would like you to consider this sermon a little teacherly, in that we're going to take a look at the funeral service in light of holy baptism, because it is so important to look at this along with the words from Romans chapter 6. If we look at the very beginning of the funeral service, the first thing we do is make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the words there in red, it says, "The sign of the cross may be made by all in remembrance of their baptism." This is a Lutheran hymnal. First of all, I want you to know that. It's a Lutheran service book. It is a Lutheran hymnal. It is okay for Lutherans to make the sign of the cross. I want you to know that. It's okay to make the sign of the cross as a Lutheran. Some people think that that may be just a Catholic thing, and that maybe it's something we should probably not do. But Luther himself recommended doing this in remembrance of baptism. Now, we do a lot of things in remembrance of our baptism, but in every day, making the sign of the cross as we say our prayers in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a way to remember our baptism. It's not a magic formula to ward off evil, okay? It doesn't protect you from evil forces or something like that. It is a remembrance of our baptism. So we begin every worship service in remembrance of our baptism, even the funeral service. We begin by remembering our baptism, because baptism is that beginning for every single Christian. It's where it all starts. And so we always begin where it all begins. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we remember our baptism. So if you are comfortable making the sign of the cross, it is okay to do so. If you're not, don't worry about it. It's not required. And again, it's not a magic formula, so it doesn't matter. If you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. That's okay. But then in our funeral service, we continue on with the words that we just read from our epistle reading today. When we remember the person who is being baptized, we don't remember that person for all of the good and wonderful things they've done. We don't recount their remarkable deeds. Where do we begin? Once again, we begin with that person's baptism, because that's what's important. All of the good things we do and all of the fine things we say and wonderful things that contribute to the good of society around us are fine. But baptism is where it all starts. Because in baptism is where we are, as Paul says, united with Christ. We're connected with him. And how does it say here in our readings? It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" So in baptism, we are connected to that death that Christ died. He died that death on the cross for you, so that you don't have to. So you don't have to go to the cross to pay for your sins, because how many of us could afford it? We only have one life to give, and that life couldn't pay for all of the sin that we've had over our entire lives. So in baptism, we are united to Christ in his death, Paul says. But not only into his death, it says. If we continue on with the response of the congregation there, continuing to read Romans 6, it says, we're buried with him, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, the hope and the faith says that we will be united in him, with him in a resurrection like his. See, that's baptism. That's the connection. That's what's made between us and God, between us and Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit in that water and word, however many years ago it was. That's where it all starts. And in our funeral service, that's where it all goes. So in this liturgical season, as we continue on through Epiphany, today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. We read in Luke's account that it simply says, Jesus was baptized. That's how excited Luke was about that. Other accounts tend to be a little bit more elaborate, but it says after everyone was baptized and Jesus was baptized, he went over to pray, and then the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and the voice from the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Luke's account is a little understated, but he still recognizes what Jesus has done in his baptism. See, he's taken what normally was a simple washing or a ritual act that really didn't accomplish anything but get you wet and remind you that you're a sinner. He took baptism and he made it into something more. He took it and made it that thing that unites us to him. He took the waters and made them something, a means, as we say in Lutheranese, a means of grace, a way in which God pours out his Holy Spirit upon us, connects us to Jesus in life, death, and resurrection and glory, all in that one simple thing. Now, we may sometimes treat baptism as a simple thing. In fact, it's one of the joys, a great joy for a pastor to be part of a baptism and be there as you pour the water on in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you know, even though your eyes can't see it, you know God is at work in that little one or that big one. The oldest person I baptized was 63. He didn't fit into the font either. So we just used regular water in a font much like this. But you can see God at work because of the person whom God is working in. You don't see any flashes of light or hear any thunderous voice, but you know God is at work. But there's also great sorrow for our pastors, for congregations in baptism. Because a lot of times what happens is somebody comes and they baptize their baby and then they disappear. And then they come back around the time their kid is going into seventh grade. They come back for confirmation. And so we'll see them for a couple of years, seventh and eighth grade, and then they disappear again, only to come back around maybe at the time of a wedding or a funeral. See, there's great joy in baptism, but there's also this great sorrow that we know, the percentage-wise, we probably won't see them much after they've been baptized. And that's difficult, to see somebody treating the gift that baptism is in such a way that it's really not that important. But for us, when we know that baptism begins that life of faith, and in the funeral service we go to baptism for that confidence, that faith, and that hope that we have, we know how important baptism is. It's not just a ritual. It's not just something we do because, well, tradition says that's what we do. Baptism is an incredible gift from God, given to us through his son, Jesus. And I know we all know people in our lives who have treated baptism that way. And it's a heartache for us. So my consolation is prayer. Your consolation is prayer. Pray for those who've been baptized and have disappeared. Pray for those who have been baptized and don't really think much of it. If you're a godparent or sponsor to somebody, make sure you remind them of how important their baptism is, not just to the church, but to you and to God. It's a hard thing. But for Paul, baptism really is where it all connects. Baptism is where it all comes together. For him, it's a tie that binds. It's a song we often sing at funerals. Blessed be the tie that binds, that brings us together, that connects us to one another. For Paul, all of it is connected. If you look at that reading there at the front of the funeral service, it's everything. It's baptism, it's death, it's burial, it's resurrection, it's ascension, it's glory. All of it is connected. And all of that is connected in baptism for Paul. For us, it's the thing that binds us all, first and foremost, binds us all to Christ, so that all that he did for us on the cross, for us in the tomb, for us in his resurrection, for us in his ascension, and for the promise of his return, all that he has done is connected to us through baptism. Who would have thought? Simple water and the word does so much. How important it is. For Paul, it's the thing, it's the glue that no matter what happens, persecution, all of the things that Paul endured, all of the things that we endured, and yes, even those who disappear from the church after being baptized, that God never departs from them. The Holy Spirit's promise is that he will remain faithful even when we are faithless. He can't deny himself. He's put his name on you and on them. For Paul, we are made one with Christ in baptism. So let's turn again in our hymnals to page 266. So flip back a couple of pages, not far. And if you look at it's a service of prayer and preaching, not one that we use very often. I don't know if we've even used it here in the years that we've had the Lutheran service builder. I'd have to go back through all of the bulletins with Peggy one day. It's a lot of research. But if we look at the New Testament canticle, the song that's sung in morning prayer or evening prayer, we have a celebration, a taking of the words of Paul and putting them to music. We have Christ being raised from the dead, and what a celebration that is. and that he will never die again. Death has no more dominion over him. Christ has been raised from the dead. Dying, Christ dies to sin once for all. Living, he lives to God. Count yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead. Alleluia. What an amazing song of celebration that we can, through our baptisms, with confidence, sing that song that Christ has been raised from the dead. Death no longer has dominion over him. And you know what? Because we are united with him, death no longer has dominion over us either. Now, as always happens, will we all eventually die? Well, unless Jesus comes back beforehand, the answer is yes. But that doesn't mean death is the end or the final destination. Death no longer has dominion over Christ. It has no dominion over you either. See, Christ went to the cross. He took all of the sin, all of that which leads to death. He took and died on the cross once, it says, for all. And I don't know if you remember our discussion when Paul says all, what does all mean? All means all, and that's all means, right? So when he says all sin, all death is dealt with on the cross, that's what he means. So the cross couldn't hold him. It won't hold you. The grave couldn't hold him, and it won't hold you. He rose in glory. You will rise in glory. He ascended into heaven and promised to return. And why will he return? Not to deal with sin anymore. It already says he dealt with it. He will come to gather all of those who are his. As Paul would say, all of those who have been united with him in baptism, in a death and a resurrection like his. So with confidence, with absolute certainty and faith, we read these words from Paul today here in our worship service, but also in our funeral service, because we can say with confidence that Christ has been raised from the dead, and we too will be raised from the dead. Death no longer has dominion over you. It doesn't over Jesus, and we are one with Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our lives in Christ Jesus. Amen.